You're listening to the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options. Facebook.com/TheOptionsInsider or via questions@TheOptionsInsider.com.
This is the Option Industry Council's Wide World of Options. Before we start today's show, investors should know that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. OIC makes no recommendation with respect to any financial firm. OIC does not make any warranty as to the accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the continued availability or existence of information created or maintained by others. Multiple leg strategies involve multiple commission charges. Opinions and strategies expressed by others are not necessarily those of OIC, nor does OIC endorse, warrant, or guarantee products, services, or information described or offered by such firms. Commissions, fees, margins, interest, and taxes have not been included in any of the examples used in this show. These costs impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential consequences. None of the information presented in this show should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell security or to provide investment advice. Welcome to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. And the Wide World of Options radio show is one of the ways the message is spread. OIC also offers a variety of other resources to those interested in learning more about options, including webinars, podcasts, and live events. For more information, check out optionseducation.org. Now, here's your host, OIC's Director of Individual Investor Education, Joe Burgoyne.
Welcome to OIC's Wide World of Options. Thanks for joining us for today's show. Let's get started first with Strategy Spotlight.
It's time to break down the latest option strategies. That means it's time for Strategy Spotlight.
Joining us today on Strategy Spotlight is Jamal Chandler, an instructor at the Options Institute at the CBOE Global Markets Group. Welcome, Jamal.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a new member of the team over there at the Options Institute. Before we get into the strategy you wanted to talk about today, how about if you tell us a little bit about your background and maybe your journey in this industry?
Well, I have an interesting journey in this industry, it's funny you asked. So prior to me coming into this industry, I was actually a chemist, believe it or not. You remember that show, MacGyver?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that was me, man. I was teenage kid watching that show all the time, loved it. And that's really what I was really interested in. And so I became a chemistry major in college and, did have a chemistry degree. And then I also went to graduate school for engineering, material science engineering to be specific, which is definitely more MacGyver type stuff. And so that was my background for, almost 10 years. I did chemistry and research, and engineering research. And, if you Google my name, there's like different papers and stuff that I've done, all this esoteric type stuff, right? And I really eventually got interested. And as I was in grad school, I got interested in trading and I started trading some stocks of my own. And, a few years go by and the opportunity came up for me to work at a prop firm here in Chicago. And I jumped at it. It was just something I was really interested in. And I figured, hey, if it doesn't work out, I'll just go and be an engineer, right? Over 10 years later, I'm still in the game. So this is kind of how it happened. I know it's kind of different, unusual, but, everybody has a different journey, right?
Indeed. It's very rarely a straight line. And, that is just a fabulous story. So, to me, it's one of the cool things about the options industry. It's so dynamic. I mean, there's so many different ways to approach it. And then you coming in here with the with that trained mind in an educational kind of background is really kind of very interesting. So thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
I know
sure.
As part of Strategy Spotlight, we always give the person who we're interviewing the opportunity to pick a different option strategy. And I know you talked about the idea of discussing the front spread. Do you want to, front spread, ratio spread?
Yeah, ratio spread, front spread, back spread. I guess, we can kind of sort of demystify them all here. And to me, this thing was kind of, the idea of this was presented to me by one of my mentors at the firm that I used to trade at, a guy named Tom Simpson. He sort of used to look at names, and the first way I'm going to look at it is what you would consider a classic back spread, in which you're sort of, you're selling you're selling one call and you're buying two further upside calls. Usually we would look to employ something like this when a name you think you can sort of get an explosive move to the upside. And I guess one way you can think about it, let's put it, some kind of high level example here. Say you have, XYZ stock, right? And it's trading $53. And so imagine if you sold the 55-60 call spread one time, right? But then say you buy an additional 60 call on top of that. So now you've sold 155 call and you bought 260 calls. So at that point, you purchased the 55-60 1x2 call spread, right? So let's add some numbers to it. Say you sold that 55 call for $2 and you bought the 60 call for 90 cents. So at that point, you will have bought the 55-60 1x2 call spread for a credit of 20 cents. And so what you're looking for there is for a move to the upside that puts you above the 60 strike. And to be exact, if you're looking at a break even on this, you would want XYZ stock to be trading above the difference between the two strikes, and in this case, which is 5, and added to the upside strike of 60. So you'll be looking for at least a move above 65. But in this case, we took in a credit of 20 cents. So now you're looking, you're getting a little bit rebate there. So you're looking for a move above 64.80. And that's kind of an explosive move considering stock, we said stock would be trading $53, but that's usually when you'd be looking to employ something like that, because you want to take advantage of stock going through your strike where you're long those two extra calls.
Okay. You did a heck of a job. Must be that engineering background explaining that so clearly. Thank you. I think our
listeners
will appreciate that too.
Sure.
And on the back spread.
And then, go ahead.
Is it typically done for a credit, or it depends?
I think like most things in life, we would love it if we could do it for a credit. it's like we all know that nothing's really typical in the market that we work in. But if you're lucky, sometimes you can get it for a credit. Often you would like to be able to do this for credit. On top of that, you would like to have long deltas going into this trade, because then you're exactly, like I said, we want this thing to be going above and through our strike rapidly, but we also want to be we want deltas to be on our side as it's doing that. So sometimes you can employ this strategy and put it on and say, oh cool, I got it for a credit, but then you're short deltas, and so you're sort of waiting for this thing to get to a point where you're long going on the way up. But ideally you'd like to do it for a credit, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Especially depends on the name you're dealing with. It could be a little some volatility there, and so those upside calls could be a little more, volicious, as we say, and so they could have a little more delta than the ones that you sold. So it just really kind of depends.
Okay. Touched on a lot of things there, and XYZ can be, oftentimes very volatile. Of course, XYZ is our favorite stock here at OYC.
Absolutely.
As I said, you laid out the example beautifully. So let's go worst case scenario in the back spread. You're short the 55, you're long the 60. What's the worst case scenario in terms of the location of the stock at expiration for somebody who puts the spread on?
So worst case scenario is if, like we said, we're long those two 60 calls in this example. And so the worst case scenario is if at expiration stock is trading 60, because then those 60 calls will expire worthless. And then we have a 55 call that at that point is $5 in the money. And like we said in the example, we sold it for two. So now there's an extra $3 that we're, you know, obligated on.
Okay. Worst case scenario in the back spread is for that underlying to be at the long strike or close to it at expiration. Fair to say?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Good. You touched on Delta, and I think you said wouldn't be a bad idea to be long Delta going into the spread. Let's just say we're neutral. Okay, stock's 53. We've sold, one of the 55s. We bought two of the 60s. Let's just say that's kind of Delta neutral. Does Delta change?
Yeah, Delta neutral would I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, will the Delta of the spread change dramatically, leading up to 60? And then clearly when we're long two of the 60s, we're going to gain, Delta through the 60 strike. But talk to me about, the movement of Delta, assuming we start from a Delta neutral position in the back spread.
Yeah, a Delta neutral is totally fine as well. Typically we would be long gamma in this trade. Usually we would be. And so that being the case, and we're probably long gamma small. So it will start to slowly, say we're around $54, $55 and XYZ. We'll slowly see that Delta sort of start to creep up and increase. And with any luck, once we're through 55, that short strike, our gamma will be a little larger. And, of course, it depends on how close we are to expiration, but we would start to see our Delta get a little longer each time as the stock started to go up.
Okay. How about, the volatility component in these back spread trades? Talk to me about, the vol being long vol, short vol. What are the risks there?
Yeah, there's one of the interesting things that about this trade, I think it sort of helps in a way, in a small way, you're sort of selling vol because you're selling that 55. I mean, you're not selling vol overall in the spread, but you're selling a little bit of volatility and getting long a little bit as well. So there's sort of an offset, but make no mistake, you're long volatility in this trade. And so a lot of times people will look to employ this type of trade in a name that's, and if XYZ is sort of long, I mean, sort of large and bigger in volatility, I should say, sort of some vol component to it. And so as volatility were to increase, of course, then your 60 calls probably would get a little juice to them as well, because those would get a little higher in volatility. So it is interesting the way that it would work in this spread. It would sort of, increase.
Makes sense, because I guess we're net long options.
So that would be good for you, if vol did increase in this trade, assuming vol was increasing as the stock was going up.
Makes sense, which isn't always the case, in markets, that makes sense. I think you touched on this earlier, certainly you did to the upside, but risk is always, paramount, I think, in terms of, trading options. Know the worst case scenario and then think about how you can make money. If you would, once again, just kind of review stock moves big to the upside or downside, what are our risks?
So to the downside, our risk is somewhat limited because say we ended at the 55 strike, those calls that we sold, those would expire worthless, along with the 60 calls expiring worthless, right? But as we said, in this particular example, we did it for a credit, and so we get to keep the 20 cents. So that's an unusual bonus there. But say we did pay 20 cents for this spread, well, then we would lose that 20 cents. So I guess what I'm saying is that to the downside, we would either, lose whatever money we pay for it, or we would get to keep whatever credit that we establish this trade with.
Okay.
It's kind of an unusual thing, but the moral of the story here is that it's limited risk to the downside.
Bingo.
For this call, one by two, that is.
Right. Gotcha. And the upside, I think you spoke to it, but just so our listeners are clear, would you go through that one more time to the upside, best case scenario?
Yes. To the upside, it's you have risk to the upside where it, in that if this XYZ is trading at 60 at expiration, that's not good. That's not what we want. Because then you are long, or I'm sorry, you are short and in the money 55 call at $60 that we sold for $2. And the 60 calls that we are long two times will expire worthless. However, stock continues to go. What we're looking for is a break. We're looking for stock to eclipse a break even of 64.80 in this example where we did the 1x2 for a 20 cents credit.
Gotcha. Okay. So as you said earlier, yeah, we need a monster move to the upside.
At that point, we're, you know, so the profit potential on the upside is unlimited.
Right. So let's go back to that scenario at expiration at 60. You know, and the stock is just below 60 to expiration. What do we need to do at expiration to manage the position if we don't want a short stock position come, you know, the day after expiration?
So if we don't want a short stock position, we would have to look to buy back that short 55 call for a, you know, unsightly loss. That would be the best way to handle it because, like you said, if stock is just below, you know, if XYZ is trading, say, 59, closing in on expiration, well, we're looking at, you know, some trouble there because the 60 calls are probably not going to end up in the money as we're talking about it. And so the 55 call will soon be it's already in the money. And like we said, if we don't want a short stock position, then we would have to close that out.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you did choose to talk about the strategies. Does that mean you like the strategy?
I do, actually. I guess the reason why I like it, I mean, I've had some success with it. So, you know, and I think like most things, when you really understand, as you, you know, eloquently talked about the upside and downside, when you understand your risk and the strategy and you employ it and you have had some success with it, you sort of take a, you know, liking to it. Right. So that's kind of the reason why it's a strategy that, you know, I can, you know, relatively early in my career, maybe 3-4 years in, it was something that was kind of scary, right? Because, you know, the first time somebody introduced a new strategy to you and it's something you haven't really messed around with, you're kind of, you know, all these things are coming at you at once. What are the risks? What are the rewards? And so this was one that was interesting that initially it wasn't something I knew about, hadn't heard about, and started trying to employ and had some success. And so, and some failures as well, honestly. So it's one of those things that, yeah, it's kind of a fun strategy.
Fantastic. Well, Jamal, I think really you've done a wonderful job laying this strategy out for investors. And you know, welcome to the Options Institute. The Institute, you know, has a fine new member with you joining the team, that's for sure. We appreciate taking the time to join us today. You know, you got a great varied background. Any closing thoughts for our listeners today?
You know, no, just because you have a certain background doesn't always mean that it's success everywhere. It takes time with everything. And I certainly had to learn that. I came in thinking that all this math and all these other things that I learned was going to immediately equal success, and it didn't. It took hard work in this field just like every other field. And the funniest thing to me coming in this field was knowing that I had to learn how to remember to do simple math all the time. I mean, like we just discussed the strategy, there was a lot of simple math there. There's some complex, there's some complex things going on in this trade, but a lot of it is simple math. And so the big thing is always knowing your risk and your reward. So I want to thank you guys at the OIC for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Jamal, an absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And with that, we'll wrap up today's Strategy Spotlight.
Next, let's upgrade your options toolbox with cutting-edge trading platforms, devices, and information. Let's talk about tools, resources, and good reads.
Here are today's tools, resources, and good reads. We want to make you aware of an excellent options analysis tool that's been on the market a couple years. It's called Options Play. It offers a suite of ideas taking into account the opinion on the underlying stock as well as current option prices. Check out Options Play Analytical Package. Now, I'm not sure I'd mentioned today's resource before, and shame on me for not. But please, do look into OIC's YouTube channel. As you know, all the education that OIC puts out there for you is free, fully funded by the OCC. On our YouTube page, you'll find countless presentations, some short, some longer, covering all levels of education with a focus on beginning and intermediate levels. If you're interested in building a base of knowledge and options, start here, OIC's YouTube page. Finally, today's good read is Larry McMillan's Options as a Strategic Investment. It's a bit of a more advanced read on options. So if you're at that point in your options education, do be sure to pick up Larry McMillan's Options as a Strategic Investment. It should be a must read. That's today's tools, resources, and good reads.
Ready for a little nostalgia? It's time to take a look back.
In today's Looking Back, I want to start a conversation about stock market bottoms. Let's call this part one. Between the time you are listening to this and our next broadcast, please try to take a look at some long-dated stock market charts. And let's use the Dow Jones Industrial Average chart, since I think that's the one most investors are familiar with. If possible, go back to 1974. From that market bottom, we've seen other significant market bottoms. I would suggest the years 1982, 87, 97 and 98, 2002, and of course, the 2008-2009 period. Now, I'm wondering, can we add December 2018 to that list of significant market bottoms? I'd say it's too early to tell, but in upcoming shows, I'll analyze some of the factors that created each of these buying opportunities. Now, the point here is not only to buy bottoms as an investor. That would be playing foolish. The point is maybe to become a little more familiar with stock market history and see if that knowledge can help you with your investments going forward. I was fortunate enough to be on the trading floor for market bottoms between 1982 and 2002. We'll talk more about the characteristics of these markets in the upcoming shows. Again, we'll start in 1974. Remember, the big event in 74 wasn't economic. With that, I look forward to picking this up next time on Looking Back.
We love connecting with our listeners. With that in mind, let's take a moment to answer a few questions on OIC's Wide World of Options Q&A segment.
In today's industry happenings, I'll respond to two listener questions. The first comes from Kay Habib, and his question is, what do you think is the best use for unusual options activity? Is it best for trading or as an indicator? Well, I appreciate the question, and here's my take. For me, unusual activity, and I'll define that as a day of option volume that is considerably larger than the norm, has always been nothing more than an indicator for me, not a trigger to initiate a trade right away. That being said, tracking unusual options activity has always been one of my most important trade idea generators. This is how I approach the concept. I track daily options volume in the entire options universe. Now, that's a lot of issues. I did have someone write the program for me. That was a big help. From there, I take the average daily volume over a one-month period. Let's say the average daily volume in an underlying is 5,000 contracts a day. I use a multiple of 3 times that average daily volume. So in this case, we're looking at 15,000 contracts trade or greater. The underlying basically creates this list of idea generators from that program that had been written for me. From this point, I go to work on analyzing the underlying, look at the chart, maybe the fundamentals, how the sector looks, whatever you do to analyze a particular stock. I do not analyze whether it's calls or puts that trade, just the activity itself, because you rarely know if a huge call or put trade is hedged with stock or other options. The big trade of calls and puts could be nothing more than a volatility or gamma trade, not a directional trade. I hope that makes sense to you. To wrap this one up, if you're looking for a position idea generator, I think tracking unusual options volume is a great tool for that. Next, after that rather long answer, I'd like to try to be a bit shorter with today's second question, and that one comes from B-Boy 2. He asks, what's the definition of a skew trade? Now, there may be a lot of definitions for a different skew trade, but here's mine. A skew trade is almost any multi-leg trade with different strikes you make. The label skew trade, to me, offers very little information. Almost all strike series, from in the money to out of the money, have skew. In the monies are almost always more expensive than out of the money options. That's the pricing structure known in the marketplace, and that's called skew. The skew trade label speaks more about this typical market pricing structure than it does to a particular type of trade, long or short delta, long or short volatility or gamma, or so forth. So that's my take on what's a skew trade. You may have a different one, but that's mine. Thanks for questions today. Keep them coming. See you next time on Industry Happenings.
You've been listening to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. If you have questions about anything you've heard on today's show, email Joe Burgoyne at options@theocc.com or visit optionseducation.org and chat with Investor Services. Interested in connecting with OIC on social media? Like the OIC page on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter at options_EDU and Instagram at Options Education, and follow their page on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the next episode of Wide World of Options.
The preceding program was a production of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/The Options Insider, or via questions@theoptionsinsider.com.